back with me to John chapter 15 and look at it with me, because this is really important. Some things are not that important. They don't really matter. And so they don't really warrant thinking about very much. There might be things that trouble you all the time, but perhaps they don't really matter. And you shouldn't think about them so much. But the more things matter, the more carefully you should consider them. And the most important things we have, we describe them as life and death issues. The most important things you have, and they merit the most thought and consideration. And what we're looking at this morning is a life and death issue. And so you really need to think about this. This is about life and death. You see, there's two ways you can go. There's either life in Christ. You can know Jesus Christ and experience life to the full forever. Or there's eternal death without him. This is life and death. You've got a really important decision in front of you this morning. The decision that's laid out in front of you is this: will I follow Jesus or will I walk away from him? You know, some decisions you might make will drain you of all life and they lead to death. But some decisions, they bring life. And this is one of those things. Will you follow Jesus Christ or will you walk away from him? There's life in him. But what is life? Bit of an abstract question, isn't it? What is life? When are you most alive? Sometimes you might come home from a particularly rough day and say, I feel like death. Other days, you might come home after experiencing something and you'll say, I've never felt more alive. Some things lead to death. Some bring life. And Jesus says, I am the life. We looked at that in the previous chapter. In me, you can find real life. And so if you want to know what life is and what life looks like, look at Jesus. Let's see what it's like in him. What does it look like to be alive? You see, before anything else lived, God lived. We thought about this a bit on Wednesday night. Before anything else lived, God lived. You see, there's one God, and he's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these three forever have been in this living, this vital, vibrant union between the three. They love being with another, and they bless one another with life, pure life. You see, spending time with some people will leave you feeling drained, won't it? You've got people in your life, you spend time with them, you feel drained. Others make you feel alive. Well, God is like that. And the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they spend time with one another, and they feel alive. There's life in him. And this life that he's talking about here, he shares it with us. Jesus says, or it says of Jesus earlier on in this book, we read it at the start, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And so he shares that life with the whole of creation, but particularly with mankind, and particularly those who are his own. And this God who is alive and living, he breathes life into everything that lives. And so again, we thought about this on Wednesday, that at the point where God created the world, it was lifeless and empty. And then God moved through it and breathed and spoke into it, and it came alive. And you see it particularly as he made man in his image. He made him out of the dust of the ground, and he's lying there, and he looks great, but there's no life in him. But then God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And he does the same now, speaks life into the dead. few chapters before this, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Life in him. And he breathes life into everything. He's the source of life. And so if you want to be alive, you've got to know him. Really alive. You've got to know him. And this morning, he offers that to you. Whatever state you've come here this morning, it's like he reaches out his hand to you and offers you this life. You can live. You can come to Jesus Christ and be alive. He's the source of life. The image he gives is like a vine and some branches. Okay, so you've got this vine, this big, thick vine, and coming off it are lots of little branches. I haven't got a vine, I couldn't find one, but I went to the park this morning and I found a branch. It's not quite the same, but imagine a tree or a vine, a big thick vine, and the life is pumping through it, and hanging off it are these branches. And they, for them to be alive, they've got to be attached to the vine, they've got to sap their life from the vine. And as Jesus explains this to his disciples, it's likely that he's left the upper room and he's walking along with them. And as he walks along past the temple, he would have seen a big statue of a golden vine. Now, the golden vine was there to remind God's people of this picture that runs all the way through the Old Testament of God's people as being like a vine. So Israel, God's people, they are the vine, and God pumps life through them and lives in them and through them. But throughout that, you always had the people of God, and they looked like the people of God, but within them you had a faithful few, those who trusted in God. And those faithful few, those are the true, the real vine, the ones who live in and from God. There's plenty around who look like the vine. They look like God's people outwardly, but then you've got inside this vine, this real vine, that's sapping its life from God. And there's always been this faithful remnant. And the rest are cut off eventually. You see, some, they look like the vine. But they're actually just dead branches that are hanging on. Because they're not obedient to the Lord their God. They're not faithful to him. You know, you might think of obedience as being boring and draining. Obedience gives life. Disobedience cuts you off from God, the source of life. Faithfulness to him, that's life. And this faithful few within God's people, this true vine, it keeps getting refined throughout history as more and more people drop off and are unfaithful to God. Until now, in this story, we see the true vine, the faithful servant, the one who never does anything wrong, never disobeys God. The most obedient servant of all, Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, he says. I'm the one who lives in God and walks closely with him. And it's from me you can get this life. See, life comes from being close to the source of life. Obedience to God brings life. And so when God this morning commands you now to look to Jesus Christ and live, obedience to that command will bring you life, and disobedience will lead to death. You see, if you're here this morning and you're a sinner and you've turned from God, life is only available through Jesus Christ, through the obedient servant, the true vine. Because he's come, you see, and he's laid down his life for us so that we can live. Some of you, as you are here this morning, some of you, you don't enjoy life for various reasons. And so this doesn't make much sense to you. Why would I want more of life? Well, the life he's talking about here isn't like that. This is true life, pure life. Without any of the death and sin creeping into it. This is a true life, and it's full of joy. He says in verse 11, if you look at it, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's why Jesus is explaining these things and using this picture. He says in another place, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus, this joyful man, comes to bring life and joyful life. Now, some of you say, my life doesn't reflect that. You don't know what my life is like. And maybe I don't. But remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered more than anyone. Here's a man who knows what it's like to face the pain and difficulty of the world. Suffered more than anyone, but he's more joyful than anyone. You see, true joy is found in knowing God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they've always known and enjoyed each other. And we saw this morning with the kids that there's moments where Jesus rejoices in God, in who he is, and in all that he does. And if you're separated from someone who you love and enjoy, it feels horrific. And so that's why separation from God, it feels so horrific, because true joy is found in him. Real life is found in him. You lot will probably enjoy lots of different things. You'll enjoy good food. I love good food. You'll enjoy good music. You'll enjoy good people. And there's certain people you like to spend time with. Loads of stuff you enjoy. But the issue is that some of you can't even imagine feeling that towards God. You don't think of God in those categories as a person you can really enjoy and know and love. And so you come here to church week in, week out. But why do you come? Because I better come or else. I've got to come. Rather than I've come to meet with this God and to enjoy being with him. Perhaps 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you became a Christian, whatever that means. You made some decision, I'm going to be a Christian now. That's the brand I'm going to put on my life. But you became a Christian because of fear. You're afraid of the hell that awaits sinners. Or you're afraid of your parents' disapproval. Rather than, I love God. I've seen Jesus Christ and I've got to be near him. And now you feel trapped. Decades down the line, you just feel trapped because you've got no love for Jesus. This is just difficult, just a chore coming along here. Because Jesus Christ, he doesn't make your heart rejoice. There's no joy in you towards Jesus. When you think of him, it doesn't make you love him more. You just come here because you feel you have to. And you don't turn from your sin towards him. Because you don't really believe he's any better than it. And perhaps you do feel bad feelings when you do wrong stuff. But again, it's because you are just afraid. And so you feel these bad feelings. You feel you should turn from your sin because if I don't, what might happen? I better turn or else. Rather than because I love this God. I want to please this God. You don't delight in him. Perhaps outwardly, you look like a Christian. But in your heart, there is no love for Jesus Christ. You see, the life that Jesus offers here is like a deep, a powerful enjoyment of God. Irrespective of the circumstances around you, irrespective of how you feel about everything else, this deep joy in God. You delight in him. You realize you need him for everything. You know, the current view of the world around you, and probably the view of most of us here, is that the path to find real joy is independence. And so, really, the ultimate place to find myself is where I don't need anyone else, not reliant on anyone. I'm my own boss. No one can tell me what to do. I'm financially secure. That's the path to real joy, but it doesn't work. And in fact, Jesus' view is the complete opposite of this. Jesus says that dependence is what leads to real joy. realizing you need someone. So he says, love one another. Christians, you need each other. Depend on each other. Stop trying to do everything on your own. Stop giving off this show that you can do everything, you don't need any help. Love one another. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Branches on their own do nothing. They look like this. But you need the vine, the life that comes from him. He says later on in chapter 16, ask and you will receive so that your joy may be full. Ask. Don't be independent and try and run your own life. Rely on God. In fact, he says here, this is fascinating. Without me, you can do nothing. How capable do you think you are? Perhaps you think, well, I can look after myself. In fact, I look after other people as well. Pretty capable. How much can you do without Jesus? Let me give you some scenarios. That big pile of dishes you've got left at home as you come out here this morning. That exam that you're going to face, or you've just faced. That job application you know you've got to fill in. Serving in church in whatever capacity. Witnessing to your friends. Dealing with that deep need in your soul to be forgiven by God. How much of those things can you do on your own? How many of those do you need God's help for? Well, sure, I need him to be forgiven. And yeah, we say, I need his help to be able to serve in church, although practically we don't really rely on him. How much do you need his help for? Jesus says here, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Not just some things, not just not the difficult things. Without me, you can do nothing. So without Jesus Christ, you can't carry out the plans you make. He's sovereign over everything. Nothing happens outside of his control. In fact, without Jesus, you can't even make those plans. He's the one who gives you the creative abilities and capacity to be able to plan these things. You can't even live. God must breathe the breath of life into you to make you live. Do you realize as you sit here this morning, the God of heaven and earth, he holds your life in his hands. He gives life. He takes life away. And there's nothing you can do about it. In fact, without him, you can't even exist. He's the one who made you and sustains you. Genuinely, without him, you can do nothing. Nothing. Completely dependent on him. He says to his disciples here, and he says to us, you need me if you want to be forgiven. If you want your sin dealt with, you need me to do it. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with the problem of your sin and guilt. You need to be able to serve me, to have the power to reach the world and transform it with the gospel. You need me to live, to have life. And you here this morning, you need him. You need him like a branch needs a vine. If I cut you off from the vine, you're dead. You need him. You see, if you're alive, there'll be signs of that in you. If you're alive, there'll be signs of life. And so if a paramedic comes to you, if you're ill, they'll look for signs of life. Or in the illustration Jesus gives, if you look at a branch or a tree or a vine, you look for its fruit to see if it's really alive. See, Jesus Christ, the true vine, is the most fruitful man there ever was. Lived the fullest life. And his life is characterized by all sorts of fruit. He loves God. He loves his people. He rejoices in all that God is and all that he does. He has this deep peace within him. irrespective of the challenges that are facing him. And he's patient with sinners. And he's kind. And he's good, never does anything wrong. And people enjoy being with him. And he's faithful all the way to the end, all the way to the point of giving his own blood for his people. And he's gentle with the weak. And he's got ultimate self-control, never does anything wrong. You know, if you want to know what a fruitful life looks like, a fruitful life looks like Jesus. A fruitful Christian life looks more and more like Jesus because it's got the same source of life. Do you know if you're a Christian here this morning? The Spirit of God is at work in you. The same Spirit who for all eternity has enjoyed the Father and the Son and breathed life, and who breathed life into this universe at the beginning and continues to do so, that same Spirit works in you. And he's coursing through you now. Like the life coming through a vine into the branches. And he gives you life. And so you bear fruit. Some of you here might feel absolutely useless. You might feel there's nothing you've got to offer. And when Jesus says something like, without me you can do nothing, that knocks you back. Well, without him you can do nothing. But with him, there's no end to what can be done. You see, Jesus, he takes the weak, the dead, the broken. He empowers them, gives them life. So in your Christian life, here's some signs of life you could look for. They're quite general. You can apply them to your own circumstances. Signs of life. Firstly, you'll be dependent on God. You'll love him. You'll realize that you need him. You'll turn to him in more and more areas of your life. And your desire for for obedience to Jesus Christ, that's going to grow. And so you're not going to be perfect. But as you go on in the Christian life, you'll desire more and more to love Jesus and to obey him. You'll hate sin. You'll realize that you want his way more than your way. And you'll love his people more than you love yourself. And so you'll lay down your preferences. You'll lay down your life for them. And so when silly little things need doing, especially in the church, you'll realize it's not worth falling out over them. And you'd rather someone else have their preferences and for yours to get trampled on than for Jesus Christ to be dishonored by falling out over it. You'll love each other. See, none of those things, they occur naturally. You'll know that from your own heart. These are difficult things to cultivate. And so they're signs of new life in Christ because they don't happen naturally. These are the signs that you are in him. No fruit is different to having not much fruit. And so there's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. But those of you who've got very little fruit, you can take courage from this. You don't get any of that fruit unless you're in him. You can't be a fruitful life in this way, a Christ-like life, unless you're sapping it from him. And so if there's any fruit in your life, no matter how small it is, it's a sign that you are his. You belong to him. And this fruit that comes from the Christian, it remains. It doesn't just rot. The branches who get life from the vine, they always get life from the vine. They never move on or graduate or become suddenly independent. They never get too good for him. They grow in dependency on him. And they never become fruitless. Okay, there's seasons of your life where you'll display more or less fruit. But those who live in Jesus Christ, those who get their life from Jesus Christ, they never die. They never lose their fruit altogether. You can't live a life that is consistently not like a Christian and call yourself a Christian. It's a difficult thing to get across, okay? Because some of you have been spun this idea, which is partly true. Once you are in Jesus Christ, you are in him forever. You can't be lost. But you've taken that to mean that because I made some decision once and I've lived a reckless life for the rest of my life, that means I'm fine. Now, the faith in Jesus Christ, it endures. Paul Levy, I heard him say once, this idea doesn't make any sense, okay? So if you walk like a duck, and you look like a duck, and you quack like a duck, odds are you're probably a duck. If you walk like a Christian, walk like a non-Christian, or talk like someone who's not a Christian, and look like someone who's not a Christian, and there's no fruit in your life that you are a Christian, odds are you're not a Christian. Doesn't make any sense. To live a life that has got no Christian fruit about it, there's nothing that marks it out as a Christian life, and still say you're a Christian. If you've got no love for God, none at all, and no love for his people at all, no evidence of life from Christ, then you are not a Christian. That's not what a Christian is. If you don't like that, your problem's not with me, your problem's with Jesus. Okay, let me read it to you. Chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Or verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Or verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's what it means to be a Christian, that you need him and depend on him, and you get your life from him. As you sit here this morning, are you a dead branch? You're hanging around Jesus and his people, but you don't want anything to do with him. Jesus warns that there are some who look like they're attached to him, but they are dead and fruitless. No life. That's the most dangerous state to find yourself in if you sit here this morning. You persuade yourself and you persuade the people around you that you're a Christian. Perhaps you look like one a little bit. But really, you don't get your life from him. You want nothing to do with him. These people, he says, are like branches that are caught up and thrown into a fire and burned. They're not his. They're condemned. Because their Christianity is about anything but Jesus. And so you do it because you've always done it. Or you do it because your family do it. Or you do it because you've got friends there. Or you do it because you're scared not to do it. But there's no love for Jesus Christ in you. If anything, he's just inconvenient. He's a bit embarrassing. You wish you could have all this stuff without him being there. There's no living, vibrant relationship between you and him. You don't know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. A Christian is someone who knows and loves Jesus Christ and realizes I need him. And all this outward stuff doesn't really matter. I need him. All those who are not in Jesus are dead and they're dying. He says, I am the life. There's no life to be found outside of him. And those who don't know Jesus Christ and are not living in him, they're heading for eternal death. Imagine that, right? Death, but without the closure of it coming to an end. Eternal death, separated from the source of life forever. So what do we do about this? If you're sitting here this morning, and you're realizing that this is about you. Perhaps some of you are angry at these things being said. But if you realize these things are about you, you've got no fruit in your life. There's no evidence that you're a Christian. What are you going to do? Well, you could try really hard to produce fruit to prove that you're a Christian. But that would be absolutely pointless. Okay? Dead branches don't produce fruit, okay? If I'm this dead branch and I just, come on, produce fruit, nothing happens. Yeah? There's no point. Dead branches don't produce fruit, no matter how hard they try. How ridiculous is that thought? You could try and produce this life without the source of life. No. You need drastic help. You need new life pumped into you. You need to be brought alive again. What about those of you who are Christians, but you are concerned because you don't produce much fruit? The fruit you produce is very small. And you want to produce more fruit. Well, again, you could try really, really hard to be better and to produce more fruit. But that's just exhausting. And it's pointless because it's not bringing you closer to the living God. If it makes you feel more dead, it's pointless. There's no life in that. It just drains you. Oh, we need mercy from God if we think we can ever try and make ourselves look better in front of Him. We need Him. We need help from Him. So Jesus introduces this character of the vine dresser. Because you see, we need God to intervene in our lives. If this is you this morning, you are spiritually dead. You need God to intervene in your life. Like a gardener or a vine dresser. And so for those of you who are believers, but it's hard work, we need this gardener to come along and prune us. Come along with something sharp and cut off all the dead bits, so that we can flourish and grow. It's a thorough process. It's a painful process. But it's one that ultimately brings life, brings more fruit. If you want to know more about that, ask Roy afterwards, because he's a gardener. I wonder if you're here this morning and you're in the middle of this pruning process. And you feel like God couldn't possibly love you because God is taking away from you things that you hold very dear. If you're in the middle of that process, can I encourage you this morning? That doesn't mean that He doesn't care. In fact, that is evidence that He loves you. It's not that He doesn't care. In fact, with great care, like this gardener coming along, with care and precision, He cuts away all that's bad to produce new life. And He only prunes those who are His. The rest get cut off. And those who He prunes cannot be lost. You see, if you're belonging to Jesus and He's pruning you, He'll never give you up. Now, the point of that careful attention He gives is that He wants to encourage growth and life. You see, you find you're in the hands of the life giver. He's doing it for your good, sign that He loves you. And your fruitfulness doesn't depend on you then, does it? But depends on the care of the gardener to come along. If Roy went into his garden and started shouting at his trees because they're not producing enough fruit and it's their fault, he'd probably get a restraining order. But if Roy went out carefully and started cutting away at the dead bits and encouraging growth, then they might live. You see, your fruitfulness is in the hands of God. And so if you get nothing else from this, if you're fruitless, you need His help. There is nothing you can do about it. You need His help. You need God and His mercy to come and give you life. Those who are His, they can't be lost because He cares for them. He's in complete control. Can't be lost. And you here this morning, you can know that you have this life. Because all you need to know this life is Jesus Christ. And this morning, Jesus Christ freely offers Himself to you. nothing holding you back. Jesus offers that to you. You can have that now. Don't have to do anything else. Those of you who are being pruned, keep going. God loves you. And he wants to bring about life in you. But some of you here, you are still dead in your sin. What can you do? Well, there's nothing you can do. Can a dead branch produce fruit? No. You need someone to come and bring life again. You see, for you to produce fruit is absolutely impossible. It's as impossible as a dead branch starting to produce fruit. For you to live a life that's pleasing to God, impossible. Dead things don't come alive again, do they? But our God, the living God, he specializes in raising the dead. And so if you are dead here this morning, you need his help. The living God, he can breathe life into the dead and bring it back. You just can't please God. Can't do anything to please him. But Jesus does please God. God loves his son. And he's pleased with his son. Absolutely delights in his son. But what we see at the cross where Jesus Christ dies there and he's left in darkness and he cries out, having been forsaken by God, that Jesus Christ, who pleases God, was cut off by God so that people like you and me who can't please God can know him. God spoke over his son. This is my son. I love him and I'm pleased with him. Today, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you get your life from Jesus Christ, God speaks over you the same. I love you, and I'm pleased with you. You see, Jesus, who lived life to the full, he gave his life for you. Oh, won't you come and trust him? Call out to him in need. You see, the living God, he became a man. And that man died in my place. And he rose again to new life. And he's now alive forever. You see, he died my death. So now I can live his life. And this morning, so can you. Nothing special about me. I'm as dead as anyone. Can't do anything to please God. But if God can show mercy to me, he can show mercy to you. Call out to him now. Are you far from the living God? Far from the God who gives life? Are you dead in your sin? Then look to Jesus Christ and live. Let's sing together our last song. It's number 648 in the books. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love. Thus he bound me to him, and round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. 648, and we'll stand to sing.